Now, Liz, you've written a plethora of books, the kids' books, the fiction books, these books, specifically in the Bad Girls books. You've got the balance of these are characters taken from Scripture, and we are reading Scripture, but then we're also reading some fictionalized accounts, and they're a mix of fiction and nonfiction. What's the strategy behind that?
Strategy and plethora in the same sentence, brother? You are blowing my mind.
He's filling his oats there. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Oh, let me just kind of recover from that. My strategy. My strategy is simply this. I think we often, with these stories, especially ones as old as these are, we're talking about 4,000 years ago, roughly 1900 BC. It is so easy to write off these situations as, well, that was then, this is now. I don't see any kind of connecting point for me as a woman in the 21st century. By writing little fictional introductions to each story, bringing as best I could the situation that the Bible sets up for us, bringing that into 2007, 2008, right now, and in the future now, you know, right in where we're living, I think it helps people say, oh, well, these were real people, and these are real issues, and I can enter into this story with my own issues and see what God has to say about it.
Are there any other women left in the Bible that you haven't written about through over these series of the books, or have we got everybody?
Oh, well, you know, that's the problem is, that's not a problem, really, but you keep reading in Scripture, and you go, wow, now, she would be really interesting to write about. And as always, with even the good girls, I'm always looking for that little thread of humanity, that little thread that lets me connect with them. Miriam, for example, is an incredible woman of God, but there was that little scene where she said, well, how come my brother, and, you know, all of a sudden she's leprous. Oops. What happened there? So there are always more women I want to write about. And as many years as God gives me, I suppose I'm going to keep writing about them, either from a fictional turn, as I did with Thorn in My Heart and Fair as the Rose and those novels, or through nonfiction books where I'm always going to have a little mix of fiction in there because I am at heart a storyteller.
Okay, so speaking of those projects, and what have you got coming up?
Well, it's back to Scotland, as I did with my other historical novels. A little bit different time period, 1745, Get Out the Bagpipes. This is Bonnie Prince Charlie and the Jacobite Rebellion and all this excitement in Scotland. Different time and place. We're in Edinburgh now rather than on the West Coast. We're on the East Coast of Scotland. And a different family from the Bible. Still an Old Testament family, but not the Jacob, Leah, Rachel batch. Now we're going to move ahead in time a little bit in the Bible and look at another family.
Excellent. I guess one other question here is, any of the girls that are in this particular book there that kind of stand out as misunderstood?
Well, I knew, I'm going to confess to you, very little about Hagar. We knew she was the handmaid of Sarai and that she was sort of forced into this role as a surrogate mother. But I had never studied her story in depth. I think one of the reasons God has me write these books is it keeps me in His Word. It keeps me digging and learning and growing. Well, with Hagar, we get almost two parallel scenes at two different time periods in her life, about 16 years apart. And in both cases, she is out in the desert the first time alone, though she is pregnant with Ishmael, the second time with Ishmael as a young man. But both scenes, the angel of the Lord shows up to talk to Hagar. This is incredible to me because she's a woman, for starters, and an Egyptian, not a Hebrew, and a slave, not a princess. And yet here comes the angel of the Lord caring for Hagar, promising her descendants. Ishmael also has 12 tribes. So it's just an amazing revelation to me that Hagar was noticed by God, seen by God, cared for by God, and she had the boldness to name God. Hagar is the only person, male or female, in the Bible who gives God a name. She calls him El Roi, which means the God who sees me. I just think that's incredible that she had such boldness, such chutzpah, as it were, to name God.